Before worship started, you had the privilege, I suppose I would call it, to watch Pastor Drew and I have a conversation which we're calling God Talk on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays, we go Facebook Live, and yes, we figured out how to do it after about three or four attempts. We got it right with a little bit of help from some friends. We will be Facebook Live every Wednesday at 11, and we will be talking about the scripture or the study guides that are inside your bulletin for the upcoming week. So if you want to, tune in. Our scripture reading, if you have not yet guessed, comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Holy One, we ask for the blessing and the presence and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit to stir us, to awaken us, to lead us, to guide us, so that the meditations of our hearts, O God, and the words of my mouth will bring glory unto you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This is just the beginning of two-chapter sermon in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. This is just the very beginning of what Jesus is teaching the disciples and the crowds, and it is a doozy. And this is where he starts, and he doesn't get any gentler as the sermon goes on. The sermon goes on and talks about loving even your enemies. It talks about, I know you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but that's not what I call for. I call for love instead. So this is the beginning of that sermon from Jesus. And in this sermon, in the Gospel of Matthew, he goes up to the mountain. He goes up to the mountain. In the Gospel of Luke, it's on a flat plain where he gives the Sermon on the Mount. But in the Gospel of Matthew, there's theological significance why he goes up to the mountain. Matthew has this Moses Christology view of who Jesus is. That's what one theologian calls it, Moses Christology, an understanding of who Jesus is in the tradition of Moses. People in the Hebrew scriptures would go to the mountain to receive divine revelation. And so far in the Gospel of Matthew, we have infants being slaughtered, we have Jesus making his way through the water, we have Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and now Jesus is going up to the mountain to give God's teaching and God's word to the people. We also have the socio-political context of the Roman Empire, and we have the religious establishment. The religious establishment and the Roman Empire would not see these things as signs of blessedness. If you were poor in spirit, if you were meek, if you were merciful, if you were a peacemaker, these things were not seen as a blessing. If you were poor or poor in spirit, according to that time, you would be seen as God cursing you, not God blessing you. You must have done something to earn this or something to receive divine retribution or divine punishment. And Jesus is flipping that right on his ear, turning it all the way upside down so that people would live a different way. Jesus is going against the grain of everything they thought they knew and everything they were taught. And Jesus turns it upside down and says, "You are blessed. You are blessed, says Jesus. That's a tricky thing about the gospel. I once heard Grayson Matthew preach a sermon and say that if you find yourself in the most comfortable seat when you hear the gospel, perhaps you're in the wrong seat. Reinhold Niebuhr, and I'm paraphrasing, Reinhold Niebuhr once said that if the gospel is being preached without any opposition, then perhaps it's not the gospel that's being preached at all, especially not the gospel that resulted in the cross, the simply put, the gospel of love. So the gospel is meant to have opposition. The gospel is meant to make us feel a little uncomfortable. The gospel is meant to help us grow and stretch and to change our ideas of what it means to be in Christian community. What does it mean to be in Christian community with one another? The scripture talks about being in Christian community. The marks of it are being peacemakers, being poor in spirit. I think being poor in spirit means that you are fully aware of your need of God. To be poor in spirit means you are totally aware of the needs that you have in that moment. I read a study this week, and the study talked about 85 of the richest people in the world have the same material wealth as 3.5 billion of the poorest people in the world. 85 people have the same material wealth as 3.5 billion people. We are blessed. And how often are we aware of our need for God to enter into our lives and help guide us and shape us? How often are we merciful? Even when we don't want to be. I have a 21-year-old living with me now, so I'm reminded constantly to be merciful. It's not easy to be meek and to be humble. And it certainly is not easy to be a peacemaker if you tend to be a little bit argumentative like me. It's hard for me to keep my mouth shut and to listen more and talk less. Amen. It is hard. It is hard to live these things out in the world. It is not easy. And yet Jesus says, when you do it, you are blessed. When was the last time you felt blessed? That's a question you can answer if you have an instant in a moment. I was blessed when I was on the Women's March in Washington. I was standing among hundreds of thousands of people, and this six-year-old child, Sophie Cruz, got up to talk. 6 years old. And you know what she talked about? She talked about us being part of a chain of love. A chain of love. And in that moment, I felt like I was part of a chain of love. And those words have stuck with me ever since. And then a bunch of us went out to dinner. We went out to dinner. We went to a Salvadorian restaurant, and there we were enjoying our meal, and the waitress comes over, and the waitress says, excuse me, but just so you know, the gentleman over there paid your check. There was 8 of us. We're like, all of us? He paid our whole bill? Yeah. He paid our whole bill. He was grateful for our presence there and the trip that we had made. 8 people. When was the last time you were blessed? When was the last time you stopped to take notice that you are blessed? I can't be the only one who feels blessed or has a moment of God's grace and God's love that was so profound I couldn't help but notice it. Friday night. Thanks be to God. Every day. Every morning when you wake up and you're alive. And we are blessed that you are here. Yes, Mike. Right. Franklin Community Center had a retreat yesterday, and you were a part of that, and to see how many people will come out and support the community and those who are in need. Yes, Peter. Oh, wow. 3 basketball shots in a row. Wow. That would feel blessed right then. Yes.
At 2 days after Christmas, when we had our 2 children and their spouses who came along beautifully in our living room, and of course our little dog, and it was just a very blessed moment.
Having your whole family together in one space and enjoying them is a blessing. Yes, Betty.
I was blessed just to be on the march with 7 of the other women in the church. It was really such a great experience.
It was. We were blessed to be together as well. Yes. Yes.
And I was blessed vicariously because my 20-year-old granddaughter, who is an American citizen raised in Germany, now in college in the United States, also was on that march.
Oh. Oh, so you were getting text messages all day during that from your 20-year-old granddaughter. Right. Her life's been in Germany up till now, and now she's in the U.S. studying. Yes, Laura. Oh, that's sweet. An email support for your son-in-law. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
When my 2-year-old, who was a small writer, here, said she wanted to learn about Jesus and got back to church.
Oh, yes. Yes. Your 2-year-old who wanted to learn more about Jesus, and you started coming to church. Thanks be to God. Out of the mouths of babes, right? Yes. Every day going to the cancer center as an employee and not a patient. Yes, indeed. We are blessed. We are blessed not because of our own actions. We are blessed because of God's actions. We are blessed because God loves us and God wants us to live blessed lives. That doesn't mean we don't have responsibility. That doesn't mean this blessing doesn't mean we have ethical response in light of being blessed. We do. We have response to live faithfully as a Christian community marked by the things of God, marked by the things of blessing, marked by being poor in spirit, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, being peacemakers, being meek, merciful, humble, and seeking justice. So together as a family of faith, sometimes we wrestle and sometimes we struggle with how to do that and what that exactly looks like. So today after the worship service, not this one, but after the second service, we'll be having a time of conversation, prayer and blessing here in the sanctuary if you want to be a part of that. It'll be right at noon here in the sanctuary. Just a small time of prayer, blessing, and conversation. May you feel and know that you are blessed. And may that blessing inspire you to be a blessing in the world so that others will know peace and mercy, kindness, justice, love, and harmony. May we all seek that in our lives and in our world. Amen.